This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Did you know that more than 50 million Americans are afflicted with some form of arthritis, and that that number is actually expected to increase to 67 million by 2030? That was one of my OMG moments. Did you know that arthritis is associated with over 100 diseases that actually attack the joints and connective tissue? Last question. Did you know that anyone at any age can experience arthritis, and even children? And I'm not just talking about juvenile arthritis that begins at under the age of 16. I'm talking about osteoarthritis and some of the other arthritis that as adults we are more susceptible to. Interesting way to start the show. You can already get a sneak preview. The topic of today's show is easing the pain of arthritis. What a wonderful, timely thing. Again, I would like to take total credit for it. However, these things just are planned months in advance. But with all this late winter that we're getting in the West Coast and also the East Coast, a lot of people who have arthritis are having a lot of flare-ups right now. So that's why I chose the topic of today's show. And then the other important reason is that my brother actually asked me to do a show on arthritis. So I should probably start out with a welcome. Welcome and hello. My name is Medical Intuitive Carol. I'm Carol Reitberger. Hello. Let me put my name tag on. I'm Carol Reitberger. I'm a medical intuitive, and I'm going to be talking today about arthritis and what we can really do to be able to quell the inflammation associated with arthritis beyond just taking medication or those over-the-counter drugs. So I'm going to be sharing that in the last segment of the show. But my brother is a very active person, and he really is one that really started this whole process of wanting to do this show. And he suffers from osteoarthritis, and it's a common form of the arthritic disease. And like many people, he's earned his living by lifting and bending and standing on his feet for hours. And he's also a very active sports person. He's skied. He plays golf. He has done baseball. He's done a lot of sports throughout his life. And right now, as he's hitting those magical years where the body starts to really show the wear and tear, he emailed me and said, "Sis, could you do a show on arthritis and talk about it and share some of the things that I can do, because I really am not to the age that I want to live the rest of my life on medication." So that's what the show is all about today. And thank you, Big Bro, for doing that for me. And then for all of you who are experiencing arthritis, and it is triggered a lot by weather, then I hope that you're going to find this show is of value. So I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about today's topic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. Also the same number, 877-230-3062. For international callers, just dial your international calling code. I'm going to be coming to Eagan, Minnesota, April 12th. I'm sure hoping that the weather's changing, because as I've noticed, there's been plenty of snow this year. So I'm coming to Eagan, Minnesota, April 12th for an evening of readings. And then on April 13th and 14th, I'm going to be offering a two-day class on soul connections, understanding the people in your life. I'm going to be looking at our relationships from the standpoint of the archetypes. That's a very common way to be able to express behavior, look at behavior and express behavior in people, but looking at the connections that we have with the people in our lives from an archetypal standpoint. And then also we're going to actually be creating a soul life chart to help you understand the people in your life, your interaction with them, and their interaction with you, because soul agreements don't necessarily mean that they're the same between two people. So I'm going to be talking about that, and then just kind of the whole dynamics of the soul family from an esoteric standpoint. So if you'd like more information about either one of those programs, or you'd like to register, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, arthritis refers to an inflammatory response that actually attacks the joints, and it really isn't a single disease, but rather many diseases that can actually cause the connective tissue to break down. This is part of the reason why arthritis has really been associated with 100 different diseases, and those different diseases can include degenerative nerve diseases, degenerative bone diseases, fibromyalgia, fungal infections, and even gout as being tied to it. There's many, many more, of course, but those are some of the most predominant or prevalent that we're familiar with. There's many contributors to arthritis, such as lifestyle, the wear and tear that we have, allergies, inflammation-producing foods, emotional resentment, viruses, bacterial infections, and autoimmune disorders, which are definitely on the increase. In the case of the autoimmune system, basically what happens is that in the inflammatory reaction is that it misidentifies a part of the body as a foreign invader and as a result then attacks it. If we're really going to understand what arthritis is, then we have to really kind of look at the biomechanical aspect of the body, meaning that we have to understand the anatomy of a normal healthy joint and then the makeup of inflammation. A normal joint is held together by a joint capsule, which is designed to be it's designed so we can allow a smooth movement between its adjacent bones. And part of the process is that it has a membrane that actually creates a space between those bones. That membrane has a fluid in it. And what it does is in that fluid, it actually acts as a lubricant that allows the bones to be able to interact with each other in a way that it doesn't scrape or rub each other and then therefore creates bone spurs, which is another form of inflammation where the body, again, the immune system deems that there's something wrong in that area, sends an inflammatory response, and can actually create a calcification in some cases, in the case of bone spurs. And now what we have is we have bone to bone, but we also have those little nubby sharp edges that can also cause damage to the bone itself or to the adjacent nerves. So when we really look at arthritis, we have to understand that we're anatomically designed to have a great range of movement, a freedom of movement. All of the major joints has this membrane and this fluid cartilage to be able to help it stay in a state where it has that flexibility. What occurs is that something happens in those areas, perhaps that we twist a knee or we damage a knee in an injury, or we pull a shoulder, again, in a sports or an injury, or just by lifting something. Well, the brain sends in a message to the immune system and says, we have a problem in that hypothetically right knee. The immune system reacts by sending an inflammatory reaction, a message to that area that creates a swelling to occur. The purpose of that is to be able to isolate the injury so we don't continue to injure it. But what occurs is that once the injury, in this particular case, goes away, the inflammatory reaction from the immune system doesn't get the message, so the inflammatory reaction continues on, and as a result, we end up finding ourselves with inflammation. And with arthritis, that when we get cold and the muscles get cold, it puts pressure on the joint, and it can cause, again, that inflammatory reaction and cause the arthritis itself to actually come in and to flare up. So when we're looking at arthritis, it's something that is there. The damage in most cases, especially osteoarthritis, has already been done. And what causes those arthritic attacks, those joints that don't want to move or the stiffness that we have, is again inflammation that is occurring in that area because the body remembers that that area at one point in time was damaged. And so when the brain says, go find what's wrong, it will automatically in the immune system go to the areas that it remembers that something is wrong. So we really do need to look at the things that we do from a lifestyle standpoint. And then also we know that in inflammation, any itis, I-T-I-S, diseases is tied to inflammation and that there's probably a food component to it as well. Maybe not so much in the developmental stages in the beginning, but we find that food plays a really integral role as far as the flare-ups of arthritis once the arthritis has established itself in the body. There's actually different kinds of arthritis. There's osteoarthritis. This is the most common form of arthritis. And osteoarthritis is basically a bone process where the bones itself starts to degenerate. And as a result, then again, the immune system comes in and tries to isolate the problem and then prevent the problem from continuing. And what it does is it creates an arthritic situation. But in osteoarthritis, we not only have the arthritis aspect, but we in most cases are going to experience to a differing degree, depending on the person, the type of bone degeneration that's going to take place. Then, of course, there's rheumatoid arthritis that's also referred to as RA. Now, this actually affects over 6 million Americans, and the vast majority of them are women. There's so much controversy in the scientific world as far as what triggers RA. We know that there's a genetic predisposition. We also understand that it has to do with depression, but not so much depression from that psychological standpoint, but more of that physiological standpoint, to where we're now recognizing things as such as copper deficiencies or vitamin deficiencies, or an instability in the serotonin and the dopamine, which are part of the components anatomically and physiologically that create depression, can actually create rheumatoid arthritis. We also have tied rheumatoid arthritis to hormones, and there is a higher predisposition for women to develop RA either during pregnancy or after pregnancy. Again, if we really kind of net it down, when we're looking at anything with RA, rheumatoid arthritis, is we have to look at it as something that is deficient, something that is not balanced or adequate. And again, the body is doing exactly what it's designed to do, and that is to go in and identify the problem, take care of the problem, and eliminate the problem. Sometimes it just doesn't get the message to stop. Juvenile rheumatoid arthritis is very similar to rheumatoid arthritis in adults. However, this form of arthritis actually begins before the age of 16. Again, we have to look at the genetic factor. We also have to look at food allergies in this particular case with finding juvenile arthritis. But the thing that we found that is the most predictable that we can count on when looking at the causes of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis is that we have to look at the genetic predisposition before anything else. Rheumatism is also known as fibromyalgia. This is actually a form of muscle arthritis, and this is probably the most common arthritis that we're hearing about now. Again, interestingly enough, more in women than men. And what we're finding is that this fibromyalgia is really caused from prolonged bouts of stress, lack of sleep, food allergies, and a body that tends to be too acidic. In the case with females, we're finding that it has to do with hormone imbalance. We're beginning to find that what fibromyalgia is as a muscle arthritis is also a degenerative nerve breakdown. So what we have is, again, as I mentioned before at the beginning of the show, we have many different things that can trigger it. Then there's psoriatic arthritis. This is actually a skin arthritis, and it's associated with psoriasis. Gout is a form of a metabolic arthritis as a result, and that results in pain in the hands, feet, and joints. This affects men more than women, and it is an increase of uric acid levels. It tends to be, we're finding in this particular, in the research of it, it tends to be from the diet that men are more susceptible to eat, the fats and the foods that tend to be very simple carbohydrates, higher levels of sugar, but mainly when it comes into the kind of those rich foods, those foods that are difficult on the digestive system and that are also difficult for the body to be able to use the fat. Also, we found that there's an increase of this gout, this metabolic arthritis, in men who tend to be beer drinkers. And I'm not just talking about one beer a day. I'm talking about, we're finding in the research, men who will drink a six-pack of beer a day on a continual basis, or maybe 3 or 4 days of a week, and it increases the uric acid level as well. Then there's also infectious arthritis. This is actually a more serious form of disorder, of arthritis because it's caused by an impaired immune system. And I'm not talking just about immune system that's designed and is doing what it's designed to do. I'm talking about an arthritis that has become severely compromised, and that can be from illnesses, it can come from infections, but it also can come from the surgery itself. And the people who were also beginning to understand people who experience an infectious bacterial bacterial infection called MRSA, also we're beginning to see that they may have a higher propensity for infectious arthritis. The primary symptoms of arthritis are pain, stiffness, and swelling in around the joints. And what it does, again, it's designed to limit the mobility of that area so we don't come in and we don't really do any damage to that area any further. And sometimes those arthritic flare-ups can last up to 2 weeks. The most common treatment that we have when we're dealing with things like osteoarthritis and even some of that rheumatism with fibromyalgia, if we don't want to get on medication, is we look at over-the-counter drugs. And then, of course, when we're dealing with RA or juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, or we're looking at some of the things like the gout, or we're looking at infectious arthritis, then what we need to do is, in most cases, in order to be able to live in our body, is that we seek out medications that can be able to actually help us, such as Lyrica for fibromyalgia or Cymbalta. But what really occurs is that what these different painkillers are doing, or how they're working in the body, is they're basically telling the brain that there's nothing wrong in that area, so it'll stop telling the immune system that there's something wrong in that area. And what they really do is that they put a mask on the process itself so we can live in our body, but they really don't deal with the causes itself, whether those causes are psychological or those causes are actually something that has to do with maybe allergies. There is a direct connection between food allergies and arthritis itself, again, tied to inflammation. So if you are on medication, I'm really not suggesting that you stop it, but what I'm suggesting is that you talk to your doctor and see if there's other ways that you can deal with this joint pain and to maybe deal with some of the pain that you're dealing with before it develops into the actual arthritis, where now things are set a pattern in place and it's something you're going to deal with potentially for a long time. So what I'm going to be doing is sharing some of those things that we can do from a natural standpoint to be able to alternative, natural, holistic, to be able to come in and to actually go in and deal with the pain and the discomfort. So when I, as a medical intuitive, look at arthritis from a psychological standpoint, because as a medical intuitive, I'm not looking at just what's happening in the body. I want to know what's happening emotionally and also in those thought patterns that we have that really drive a lot of our behavior. And I also look at the energetics of arthritis, meaning that I connect with the energy field and find out where those imbalances are. And then using the chakra system, which is a very well-defined absolute system, meaning that there's no variables in its design. It's either in balance or out of balance, and that's really the way the human body is. We're either chemically in balance or out of balance, but the chakra system itself will actually tell me where the origin site of the arthritis is taking place, rather than just having the body throw up any symptoms anywhere. And that's one of the difficulties when it comes to diagnosing arthritis and the type of arthritis, is that because we have symptomology that can pop up anywhere. The main thing to remember is that if you have arthritis, any one of the forms that I've talked about, whether it's that infectious arthritis that tends to come on in acute situation and then tends to still be there but doesn't have the flare-ups as often as, say, we have osteoarthritis, then what I would suggest that you do is go in and look at what you can do to quell the inflammation in the body. And if you're interested, I've actually had some wonderful guests on my show. You can go to my show archives at www.ritberger.com and go to my show archives. And I've had Samantha Grant and then also Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, and we've talked about arthritis and the things we can do from a food standpoint. So when I look at it emotionally, what I'm really looking at is it just narrows down to arthritis is resentment. And this particular resentment that we have is the resentment that really kind of stays down deep inside of us and that we kind of eat away at ourselves. We may resent other people. We may be resenting ourselves, but I find that there's a deep connection between that resentment. And we're not really conditioned to express that resentment in a constructive, positive way. So it is a natural human tendency to just allow it to bury it and then allow it to eat away at us. And that's kind of what I look at metaphorically as far as arthritis as a medical intuitive is. It's a process when we're letting something eat away at us. Some of the common behavioral tendencies I found that predispose people to the formation of arthritis are they don't like to lean on other people for emotional support. They're perfectionists who have unrealistic expectations of themselves and their performance. I'm going to raise my hands double on that one. They tend to be full of inner turmoil. Things that seem to be just kind of a minor incident becomes a major incident within them, and then that feeds on them. Then they feel like they don't have the support they need in order to be able to deal with the challenges that life faces them. They feel like they're standing on their own and they have no support. Again, metaphors that I find as a medical intuitive. They're likely to be excessively conscientious. They're fearful of criticism. They're frequently depressed and they battle over a poor self-image. They easily get upset with themselves and then actually turn on themselves, and that's what I call that self-feeding frenzy. They feel tied down, confined, and restricted in expressing who they really are and manifesting their full potential. They have repressed hostility. They feel that they aren't good enough. They're angry people, and I need to clarify that. They're angry people because they're angry with people not helping them and carrying their own weight. And again, that's that self-directed anger. We are not born angry. Nor is anger a instinctive behavior within us. It is an actual learned behavior where that's one of the first emotions that we experience and we use as our means of survival as children. And then as we develop in our emotional maturity, then resentment starts to step in. Also, I found that they suffer from an inflexible mind and they're resistant to change and they become very anxious. That's that irritation, that's inner irritation that happens when they're under prolonged stress. So in my world as a medical intuitive, inflammation is associated again with resentment. But when we start taking resentment and we break it down into other emotions, I also find bitterness, which is tied to the serotonin dopamine, the imbalance in the pancreas and the digestive system. Again, bitterness can be a trigger emotionally for food allergies, also hostility, anger, and then really in order to be able to really look at what triggers our anger, it's very, very helpful for us to really look at our fears and our insecurities. So also in my work, when I come in and I start to connect it with personality, I find that the personalities that have the highest predisposition of arthritis are osteoarthritis is the yellows and the reds, very hard on themselves, expect a lot of high expectations and perfection. Rheumatoid arthritis tends to be more of an orange arthritis, and then rheumatism or fibromyalgia tends to be more green. Now, if you don't know your personality color, again, you can go to my website, www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R. On the homepage, I have a moving slide that says, what color is your personality? Just click on that for a nominal fee of $1.95. You'll be able to not only discover your personality color, but you'll have a lot of information to read about yourself and then also some information on how to be able to interact with personalities who are different than you, whether it's at work or at home. So again, www.ritberger.com and click on what color are you and discover your personality color. I always bring personality into all of my analysis of illnesses that I do in my Your Health webinars from the standpoint I believe that if we're truly going to heal ourselves, then we heal ourselves at all levels, not just at the physical level, but also at that emotional aspect of who we are. So in the next segment, I'm going to be talking about some of the alternative therapies that we can use to be able to deal with arthritis, but more importantly, to deal with inflammation. I want to jump right in, and let's take Judith from Rochester, Michigan. Hi, sweet. How are you?
Hi, Carol. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How can I help you?
Well, I'm relieved to be able to speak with you. I've had breathing difficulties for many years, off and on, mm-hmm. and I've always related it to allergies or anxiety, and so it didn't scare me, and I treated it with herbs and that kind of thing. And fast forward, starting this month, I'm now on a steroid powder inhaler.
Okay.
An asthma inhaler, and I also have a rescue inhaler, which to me just seems really drastic. And I wondered, am I on the right track with this treatment? But I got to a point where I just didn't know what else to do.
Well, actually, you are, sweetie. And,
okay.
And it isn't that the other didn't work. It just is that in that process, it was progressing. This breathing difficulty that you're having was progressing. And even though the herbs, I think it feels to me like they were being able to kind of help you cope and manage and sustain where you were, in reality, there was a breathing disorder that was taking place that just has reached a place where we now need to treat it more effectively, and that's where the steroids come in. You still don't feel like you're at a place where you have to have it. And what I mean by that is you're still not psychologically there, Judith, to where you have to have it to depend on it to be able to live. So psychologically, you're still working on the premise that this is too will pass, but the physiology of your body and the anatomy is saying that we really do need to have this. Sweetie, have you ever been diagnosed with asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder?
Well, I had a breathing test about a year ago where the doctor said it was low normal, and he didn't mm-hmm. really call it asthma. Mm-hmm. But then I went back recently because I'm having more and more problems, and that's when I got on these other inhalers.
Yeah, yeah. My sense is that, and again, I'm not to diagnose, but my sense is what we're dealing with, and I threw out those two different diagnoses to mm-hmm. see where if your body would talk to me, and it did.
Oh,
So in that particular process, what your body says is that what you most likely have is you have asthma. And that asthma is going to, you're going to notice it more in seasons where there's more allergies that are going to happen. You're going to have, you have more of a tendency on a seasonal cycle to have more inflammation in your body. So again, it feels like it's something that's tied to allergies, which is what you thought. But it does feel like it has the energetics of asthma. Does this mean that you're going to have it the rest of your life? I really don't believe that.
Okay.
But I do believe that in this cycle, in this pattern, in this progression of what I'm picking up in the lungs itself and that the inflammation that happens in those bronchial tubes and even down in those little alveoli sacs mm-hmm. is that this will give you that peace of mind that should you get psychologically in a place of distress or physically, it's going to give you that quick hit that you need from the standpoint that your brain isn't going to lock down and think something's wrong, which then can psychologically increase the propensity for asthma. So long story short, I wanted to give you the big picture so you could, okay. you know, kind of see the decision that you've made and how it works for you. You don't necessarily have to jump on asthma, but if you look at the symptomology, it matches. Let's look at asthma and what we can do to be able to treat it before it gets to a place where this has to become the norm.
Well, what happened with me is I was okay when I thought it was allergies. When it got the name asthma, I got
yeah.
really scared.
Yes. And so let's work with that one.
Okay.
And part of the reason is that the way that asthma is presented, whether we're looking at the web or we're talking to doctors,
right.
is that once you have asthma, good luck, you have the rest of your life.
Right.
What we know is that in the research is that, yes, that is a possibility, but if we look at asthma as an inflammation in the lungs and we look at food as being a potential contributor to that inflammation or allergies that can stem from that, then what we do is we go to the root cause. The root cause of asthma is the immune system.
Okay.
So managing the inflammation, knowing that there's going to be times that you're going to be more susceptible to pollen or cold. It feels like cold even triggers you.
Yes, it does.
And when you get into that, then just know that at those times that you have, you don't have asthma, you have an inflammation that occurs, and these things can help you.
Okay.
And that'll change the dynamics to the point where you won't feel that hopelessness that seems to come with that kind of a diagnosis.
Sometimes when I try to sleep, I feel like if I don't control my breathing myself, in, out, that it will just stop. And that's with taking this steroid inhaler twice a day.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is I would encourage you to look at sleep apnea and look at and see if some of the breathing process isn't at the root sleep apnea, which also has a lot of inflammation propensity to it, and then you might want to look at a CPAP machine, or you might want to something that works really well, doesn't cost a lot. Go get some Breathe Right strips. Put them on your nose at night. Open those nostrils up, and then what you may very well be dealing with is not even so much asthma, even though that's what it feels like in the symptomology.
Right.
You may be dealing with something with sleep apnea that is causing that breathing to become abnormal enough where we have inflammation. So there's some other ways to look at it.
Okay, I've considered those strips. I've thought about buying them, but there's just so many different ways to go. I didn't know what to do. Okay,
well,
I could do that.
Yep, and I really applaud, support going with the steroid inhalers, because psychologically that will give you that sense that you're okay while you're trying to figure everything out, and then your brain isn't going to fixate, oh, my gosh, we've got a major problem.
Right. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. So try those, sweet, and then, you know, I'll come in and poke every so often and see how you're doing.
I would love that. All right.
I don't know. I had somebody say the other day, are you in there poking all the time, Carol? It's like, no, not me.
I would love for you to do that.
Well, you're a love. You have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for calling me, Judith.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay, what I'd like to do is, my other callers, please stay on the line. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back, talk a little bit more about arthritis, a little bit more about what we can do from an alternative standpoint. I'm going to take some more calls, so please stay tuned. I'll be right back to talk about how are we going to ease the pain of arthritis without always having to take those medications. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green? Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, Welcome back. And if you're just joining me, thank you for doing that. And today I'm talking about arthritis. It actually was a suggestion from my brother. However, what I found is with all this crazy weather that we have going on across the United States and Minnesota, I have great heart and feeling for all of you that are there up there in the snow and the cold and the minus degree days. But with this crazy weather, any of us who tend to have any arthritis in our body are really feeling some of the effects of it, and then also experiencing the inflammation, the flare-ups that are associated with it. So if you, as my brother did, gave me a suggestion for the show, if you have a suggestion for the show, I invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com, and then put your cursor over the radio tab at the top of the homepage, click on show schedule, the drop-down menu, and right there it has a little Babylonian, as we call him, send a show suggestion. I would love to hear from you because it really helps me in understanding not only as listeners where your interests are, but I love the research that is behind putting these together and really looking at illnesses and from a holistic perspective. I also would like to invite you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, if you want to learn more about arthritis and the things that you can do to ease the pain. I'm only touching on a small segment in my show today. I actually have an audio download and a printable PDF on the topics from my Your Health webinars that I did a subject on arthritis. So you can, again, go to the webinar, go to my website, put the cursor over webinars tab, and then click on the downloads drop-down menu. And then what you're going to find is you're going to find arthritis as well as other 29 different illnesses that I've really featured on my webinars. And again, what I want to do always is I believe healing can happen on all levels, and we can start on any level, just not physical, for that healing to take place. And I'm more interested as a medical intuitive in the healing, meaning restoring the body back to better than it was before it had any kind of illness or breakdown. Where curing is, let's just fix it, put it back to where it was. So on my Your Health topics that I have in the different illnesses, the 29 of them, I actually go in and look at it from a holistic perspective, again, bringing in the impact of personality, because it makes a tremendous difference in the susceptibility of the illness itself, energetically, also looking at it anatomically, general description, holistic choices, and then I even map it in the chakra system. So again, there's a try before you buy feature on that page, and so you can listen to a brief excerpt from the webinar itself and then also read a page of the PDF. And then if you'd like to purchase it, you can just do it right there online. The audios are only $11.95 and the PDF is only $5.95. Lots of information for not much cost. So again, www.ritberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. So let me quickly go through some of the different suggestions that you can do to ease the pain of arthritis without having to necessarily turn to those over-the-counter drugs or to be able to take medication. Again, I'm not saying if you're on medication, stop it, but what you may want to do is look at some of these alternative choices and see if you can start incorporating them in your daily activities, in your daily life, and that can cut back on the amount of medication, ultimately getting you off the medication or over-the-counter drugs. So the first thing you want to do is, of course, we know with inflammation is that you want to watch your diet. You want to actually eat foods that reduce inflammation, such as dark green leafy vegetables, olive oil, deep sea wild fish, and that's the deep rockfish, salmon, also mackerel. So you will want to look at fish that is high in omega-3. Brightly colored fruits, avoid foods such as sugar. Sometimes in some people, red meat can cause an inflammation. Again, it depends on your body, but more importantly with red meat, I am a proponent that we need to eat meat. Sorry, all the vegans that are out there, if your body type or your blood type is that you shouldn't eat meat, I certainly appreciate that, but we have to have some form of fat and protein And then also the amino acids or the omega-3s when we're dealing with fish. So in red meat, if you're a red meat eater, the real secret to managing inflammation is to eat red meat that is as lean as possible. Now the red meat that tastes really good is the type that has a lot of marbling and a lot of the fat in it. That gives that beef that real good flavor. However, that can cause inflammation. And then also high fructose corn syrup, which is in many, many, many different things. The other thing that you can do is to use supplements such as curcumin, ginger, glucosamine, also turmeric, fish oils, flaxseed oils, sami, which is an herb remedy that helps with managing stress. You might also want to look at cinnamon. Cinnamon is wonderful for inflammation, so that's another thing that you can try. One of the wonderful things is that you can, instead of maybe a cup of coffee that tends to be acidic, if you like your one cup, go for it. But if you're a coffee drinker and you drink six or seven cups of coffee, you might want to look for other things. So some purified water, a little bit of fresh sliced ginger in it, a cinnamon stick in it really goes a long way to not only give you that warm, fuzzy feeling that's associated with that beverage, but also it can help with inflammation. You can try acupuncture, meditation, practice stress management techniques such as progressive muscle relaxation, and use your body. That's one of the things that when we have a flare-up and we have that pain that's associated with arthritis is that we don't do anything because it hurts, and we're afraid that if we do something, it's going to hurt more. So don't be afraid of hurting your body. And what I mean with that is some form of mild stretching, such as walking, swimming, or bicycling. You can even do some yoga, mild stretching associated with yoga. You don't want to do anything that creates a lot of pain, because all we're doing is we're just increasing that inflammation message to that area. But one of the things that I truly believe is if you don't move, you won't move. So even when you hurt, what I might suggest is that the movement gets the toxin out of the muscle. It takes the pressure off of the joint itself, gives you more flexibility, mobility, quells that inflammatory reaction, and can really go a long way. Also, heat and ice works very well. Heat basically relaxes the muscles, and then the ice actually tells the brain to send an endorphin to that area that we now know is the equivalent of about 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen. Plus, what we also do is the cold pulls the toxin out through the pores of the skin. So something else you can do. Stretching every morning and every night is very important. Even stretch when you get up after you've been sitting for a prolonged period of time. I always say take the lead of dogs and cats. Once they've been laying down or sitting down for any length of time, what they'll do is the first thing they do before they even move is they stretch. And then once they stretch, then they go into movement. I think that's something as humans we can really learn from. Also consider Tai Chi, yoga, Qigong, massage, and even Pilates, again, depending on the type of arthritis, the amount of pain. Breathing properly is really important, rather than doing that shallow, rapid breathing, such as the case when we do that stress breathing. What you want to do is do mindful breathing, where you're actually breathing slowly in a controlled rhythm, which brings me to mindfulness is also a wonderful modality for managing pain and will stop the pain message going to the brain. And that can help tremendously as well. And then also reducing the weight that you're carrying. And this isn't a nag unit on the type of how much weight and everything. We know that 5 pounds can change the physiology of the body, the way the digestive system works, the way insulin works. So just seek to lose those 5 pounds. And again, different ways, not overstressing anything, but also looking at food, looking at some movement. The more you move, the more calories we burn. The foods that you eat that are healthy foods that are anti-inflammatory, we tend to metabolize in a way that we don't have a lot of waste byproduct, which is, again, part of the inflammatory reaction. So those are some of the suggestions that you can use. Let me jump on and get Wendy. Hi, Wendy. How can I help you, hon?
I've been to doctors a lot in the past couple of years because I feel like I'm passing out a lot. And my gut feeling is it's some sort of hormonal imbalance. But so far, they haven't really been able to tell me what it is.
Yeah. And as you were saying that, sweetie, I immediately ran your vascular system. It's just when somebody has the passing out and stuff, it's just immediately go there. So I went and looked at carotid arteries. I went and looked at the arteries to see if we had any kind of blockage, anything like that, that could cause a drop in blood pressure, because that's a lot of times. I didn't pick that up. What I did pick up, though, sweet, is, and it is tied to hormones, but, and I'll go that direction, but also it feels like your blood sugar level gets really low. Have you experienced hypoglycemia throughout the course of your life off and on?
It's funny that you say that, because I remember when I was younger, I used to get shaky hands around 10 a.m. every morning, and I didn't think much of it because I was so young.
Right.
And then it kind of kept at bay. And just recently, the endocrinologist asked me to start taking measurements.
Good.
And I think in general, it's been on the low side.
Yep. So I think that, you know, when I go that route, while it's hormone, but it's not the hormone like you're talking about, in that particular thing, I think what you're doing is I can pick up these low blood sugar levels. And then I can also, because of that, I can pick up where your blood pressure drops. It's not something to be afraid of, but the two seem to go hand in hand. And what you're doing is you're not getting enough of the energy that you need, and you're not getting enough of the blood pressure. And I think that that may be one of the contributing factors. I'm going to stick with that because I want to go to hormones to see their role and see. I'm looking for the trigger so I can help direct you in an area where to put your energy.
Okay.
Hormones. So going in, I'm running your body again. And when I run your body hormonally, I'm going to tell you where I'm going. I'm going to the pituitary gland. I'm going to the pancreas, and I'm going to the reproductive organs. That's exactly where I'm going with you in hormone. Now, the natural thing is I would normally go to the pituitary gland, the thyroid gland, because that can be part of the hypoglycemic process, but it took me immediately to the pancreas, and then that took me to the reproductive organs. So, having said that, I do believe that the endocrinologist is right in having you measure this. I believe that it's hormones that's tied to estrogen, progesterone, tied to cycles, but I don't really pick up that that's a real trigger. I think the real trigger of what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a low blood sugar level that seems to have instability in it. Because I don't find that it's every day, but I can find a pattern within it. So I think you're on the right step by doing that, managing it, then you'll be able to look at what you need to. And I think it's tied to the pancreas and it's tied to insulin. And when I said that, your body went, oh my gosh, Carol. So let me go in, and again, not supposed to diagnose, but I'm going to do this because I opened up the door. We're not talking about diabetes. We're talking about, it feels like it's the propensity of a hypoglycemia and the symptomology associated with it. One of the things that I do pick up is that, have you ever studied metabolic syndrome, honey?
No.
Insulin resistance. One of the things you might do, sweetie, is you might want to do a little bit of research on that, because both of those things are very manageable by the foods that you eat, how often you eat. My sense is your body would really like to eat probably 6 times a day, little tiny meals. It does need to have some protein. It does need to have some complex carbohydrates so it can help stabilize that high-low of the sugar that I'm picking up. So there seems to be some things that you could do from a physical, from the foods that you eat that could help stabilize this as well. I went right back up to the pituitary, and I looked for any kind of pituitary tumors, anything like that. I didn't find anything. I don't know why I went that route, other than the fact that the endocrinologist is probably going to look that route, and I didn't find anything. So if anything comes up where he wants to look at other things, I would encourage you to not be afraid. I think what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a low blood sugar level.
Okay. Well, that's, it's a relief, definitely. I've been stressing out, and it's been hard because I've been taking my blood sugar, and I don't see any rhyme or reason. So it's been frustrating me, but I guess I just have to keep moving forward.
Well, and, you know, one of the reasons you may not find the rhyme or reason is because you're not truly diagnosable with anything at this point in time. I picked up the propensity to hypoglycemia, but I didn't pick up that you have hypoglycemia, meaning that it isn't something that's predictable enough that the endocrinologist would want to work with you. Right now, it feels like food. It feels like how often you eat. It feels like giving your body things that the insulin doesn't get those highs and lows. And again, that's why I went in and said, this does not feel like type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's nothing, the good news is there's nothing that's well defined.
Mm-hmm.
The part of the kind of the bad news is the brain wants it to be well defined so it can jump on it and do
right.
something.
Right.
And that's what's causing your stress. There's no rhyme or reason.
Mm-hmm.
So look at blood sugar, look at hypoglycemia, things that can be done. Looking at the foods that can eat, the eating multiple times. Look at it from that perspective, and I think that you'll start to get a handle on it, and then you'll feel like you're progressing. And then with what the endocrinologist is going to be looking at, I think the two of you can meet in common ground and put together a plan where it isn't an OMG over the top.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You are most welcome, honey. Thank you. All right, Sheila, I'm going to try, sweet. I've only got a few minutes. Let's go for this.
You know, I'm kind of out of balance all over the place right now.
And, Me too, honey.
I went back to college, and, you know, I'm just so stressed. I started smoking. And I'm just feel like my root chakra is out of balance.
Well, actually, darling, it's your third chakra. The root chakra is in survival because you are literally there going back to school, trying to balance everything, trying to get everything done. So you really are in a survival mode.
Mm-hmm.
But where I'm actually picking up where the imbalance of all of this is occurring is in that third chakra. It's the adrenals that are just kind of like beating tom-toms all the time, like the little ever-ready bunny you don't let down. You have a wonderful integrity about you, commitment, determination, but you also, like me, I'm loving you. We have a lot of unrealistic expectations. So when you go in and you look at your life and looking at that stress level and so forth, let's look at it from, I'm going to do it. I had to do this when I went back to college very late in life to get my PhD. I asked myself at 42 years old, what the heck am I doing? Is that when I did that, I had to take my life in 6-hour increments, literally.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do in 6 hours? What is unrealistic? Yes, I know,
I'm so
honey.
Stressed.
I did too. And what I did is that I literally took that 6-hour increment. What can I do? I have to go, all of my listeners, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to eat. I went and looked at the basic fundamentals, and then I did that. I had to move, and then I started putting the rest of my life in place after I did those things. I was negotiating with my body like you from the standpoint that I didn't know what to do. One of the things I'm going to tell you very quickly is it isn't school. I can actually pick up that there's one class that is just driving you crazy. Is that
true? Oh, my gosh.
Honey, and it's the professor that's driving you crazy. And if you don't want to continue it, drop that class. Don't drop school. Drop that class. Come back to it if you can, when you can. But it's that one class, unrealistic expectations.
She has ADD and I'm ADHD and she's all over the place and I get headaches. She is driving me crazy.
She is sweet. So so when I touch you and all the different things, she's undermining your confidence. You don't know where you stand. You don't know what's expected. Once you do, you do.
Mm-hmm.
You do it, and it isn't. So what we've got is we've got crazy making in that third chakra. You can't go back to your core. You can't go back to that part of you that can feel like you can do a good job. So what I suggest is look at how much time you have to finish the class. This too will pass. If it's too crazy making, don't drop out of school. Drop out of that class. Come back and take it when you are in a place where you're not carrying as much load and everything else. And I seriously, it worked for me. It may not for you, but I literally took my class in 6-hour increments my life. And with doing that, I felt in my perfectionist, I could at least manage and do what I needed to get through the day and remain healthy. because your brain spins like mine, and when it does, the Tibetans call it the monkey mind, and oh my gosh, it is swinging from tree to tree. I do not even stand a chance.
Well, thank you, but yeah, she is driving me. I don't even, you know, and this semester is the worst semester because I've actually flunked two tests, and I've never done that before.
Right, right.
So
again, yeah,
okay.
And take that also as you're looking at the, you know, the next semester and stuff with it. But my sense is, sweetie, is that she's got you so spun up.
Oh,
and
my God.
I don't mean to blame her, but she's got you so spun up. And you've learned to deal with your own spinning with the ADHD. Mm-hmm. And what she's got is you've got yourself into kind of a post-traumatic stress syndrome,
yep,
from the past week. So try that. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I always love to do these shows. Please send me your suggestion, light and love, and I'm going to see you next Wednesday on the radio on Contact Talk Radio. I'm medical intuitive Carol Reitberger.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.